Whenever you set your heart to do something for God, or do something even in obedience to God, if He's instructing you to do something and you set your heart to do it, you're going to experience some opposition. Understand that we're in a fight. We're in a battle. It's just not easy, as they say, peasy these days. It is a struggle, amen, to really mostly get control of ourselves. We have to rule ourselves first, amen? God gives us that ability to do so by His grace. It's not just because I tried harder. That would be my own works. But when I rely upon the ability that God supplies, He's the one that supplies the Spirit. Amen? And the ability for me to rule myself. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Amen? Now, naturally, we have a certain level of self-control. Everybody does. Some people have longer wicks than others. But the Holy Spirit supersizes that. Amen? He gives you a supernatural ability to do what you couldn't do naturally. So if you had a problem with your temper, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be in control of this vessel. Amen? And so God allows us at times to do what we want to do. Well, He does. Why? Because sometimes that's the only way we learn, is through mistakes. God doesn't want us to make mistakes, but sometimes that's the only way we learn. If we're stubborn, if we're rebellious, and we just decide we're going to do it our way anyways, well, you know, God gave you that ability to choose what path you will take or what master you will serve. You're going to either serve Him or you serve yourself. And when you're serving yourself, guess what? Yourself, the old life, amen, the selfish, sinful nature is subject to Satan, so you're serving Satan when you serve yourself independent of God. Are you hearing me? So God gives us the ability to take care of ourselves, and He does give us charge over ourselves. He gave us charge of our lives. What we do with it is up to us. We have to choose who we're going to serve. And without the grace of God, you and I have no ability to please God. Amen? We receive grace through faith, confident assurance that God will supply what I have need of when I need it. I come to God in prayer because I have faith in God. If you don't have faith in God, you won't pray. Uh-oh. If you really believe that God hears and answers prayer, you have confident assurance that God is actually listening to you, then you will pray more. But when we're not in faith, we are not praying, because we're in self-confidence instead. Do you understand? The Bible doesn't teach self-confidence. Jesus taught us to have confidence in Him, in the Father, in the will, in the provision of God, the power of God. Our faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's why we should be a people with hunger and thirst for His presence, for His righteousness, for His ability, because we realize that apart from Him, we are weak. Jesus said to His sleeping disciples, remember in the garden, He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have to fight that part of us that wants to live independent of its creator. We have to deny that part of us that wants to do its own thing, have its own way. Amen. And so that we can yield ourselves and obey the voice of God and be led by the Holy Spirit. Our lives are now to be governed by the Spirit of God. No longer, even though we have the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. We are to willingly choose to submit our will to the will of God. That's what Jesus demonstrated for us when he walked this earth. He came not to do, his own will, but to do the will of the one who sent him. So likewise, you and I are called as believers, as Christians, which are followers of Jesus, to do the will of our Father. We have been redeemed, bought, paid for, amen, and brought out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of His dear Son, so that we can now walk with Him in this new life, amen, and bear good fruit, amen, unto eternal life. God wants to reward you someday. And if you're willing to deny yourself now, the day will come when you will be rewarded. Amen. Those who suffer with Him will one day reign with Him.
Hallelujah.
And those who have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. In other words, it's not always easy, is it, to do the right thing? There's a cost to following the Lord. And that cost is myself. I'm the investment. Jesus paid in full for everything, yes, and by His grace we are saved. But my part of that is to offer my body back to God as a living sacrifice. Come on, somebody. Am I preaching the word today? There's a part of every one of us that doesn't like this. And that's the part that we have to starve out and put to death. We cannot allow that part of us to tell us what to do. Daily, we have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Now, Jesus taught us how to pray. He taught His disciples how to pray. And prayer is very important. And why are we called to pray? Because we are God's priesthood. As a New Testament believer, we are actually a priest unto God. We don't have to go to an individual. Amen. We can come to the Lord Himself. We can confess our sins to Jesus. Amen. We can commune with Jesus. We can pray to Jesus. Amen. On behalf of others, even intercession. God has called His church. Amen. His people. To be a house of prayer. The physical temple on earth, amen, was a place of prayer. Amen? However, today, you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as the temple of God, it is to be a house of prayer. I am to be a house of prayer. My number one mission, amen, is to be acquainted with Jesus, to know the Lord, to be in communion with God, to walk with God, to come to my Father and receive my instruction from Him, to get my direction from Him, to be led of His Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God wants us to desire what He desires. He wants us to will what He wills. And He wants us to ask Him to accomplish His purposes in the earth. Why is prayer so important? Because prayer is really the key to bringing heaven to earth. To bringing the will of God into the earth realm. And if we don't pray, then things don't change. You and I today are a result of somebody praying for us. Somebody stood in the gap. Somebody called on the Lord on your behalf. God gave man dominion. He gave him authority over the earth realm. And when man sinned, he was separated from God and he lost that place. Lucifer came along and stripped him of that. Because he yielded to him, then Lucifer usurped that authority for mankind and became the little g, the little god of this world. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came, amen, to deal with that dude, to deal with the sin problem. Amen? To cancel the assignments of the enemy. To break the power of sin. Amen? To offer forgiveness and reconciliation through His shed blood so that we could be restored back to our rightful place as sons and daughters who can now walk with the Lord in the cool of the day, if you will. Amen? In fellowship, in harmony with God. And that is what we call prayer. Prayer is simply communing with God. Have you ever just kind of had like a thought about something that, you know, you need to ask God or you'd like God to do for you? And all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's actually happening. You didn't even vocalize it. You just thought about it. Isn't that amazing? How many know that God's not impressed about how fancy we pray? Somebody say amen. Some people are really good at praying. Other people, well, they're not so spectacular. They're not so well-versed, maybe. But you know, God hears every prayer that is offered from a sincere heart, amen, that is pursuing His will and His desires. God loves that. He says, you know what? Even the faintest cry, sometimes He will answer by and by. Just a little talk with Jesus, right? Makes things right. So God has called us to fellowship, to communion, and not only that, as a priesthood, we pray on behalf of others. It's not always, we're good at praying for ourselves. Come on, somebody. But, you know, are we spending ourselves on others? Are we willing to spend our time to pray for others? How many know that if you are praying for others, God will take care of you? As you give, it will be given unto you. As you love, you receive. As you bless, you receive the blessing. Amen? Come on, somebody. That's how Jesus demonstrated it. He didn't come to serve or to be served, but to serve, to give His life away. So the Christian life is really a joyful life when it is lived in the will or the purpose of God. So when we're discovering and understanding, first of all, the will of God for my life is to be a person of prayer. Well, that's just for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. No, are you in Christ today? Are you a believer? Is the Spirit of Christ in you today? If so, you are called to a prayer ministry. A life of prayer, a life of communion with God, talking with God, amen, listening for the voice of God, speaking what God is speaking, doing what God is doing, amen, and praying on behalf of other people, standing in the gap, that's what intercession is, standing in the gap for somebody else. Moses did that for Israel. So the first way we come to God is in confident assurance or in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith, it is impossible to please Him." So what pleases God? Faith pleases God. Faith is me coming to Him with expectation and confidence that what I'm asking for according to His will, He's going to answer. And God is delighting in that. When He sees the people who trust Him, who believe in Him, if we don't believe in Him, we won't be talking to Him very much. If we're not in faith, we don't pray. I'm trying to stir something up in you today because there's just too little prayer going on, it seems like, these days. Because the enemy is good at distracting us. How many know that you can work a busy job and still be in prayer? Amen? Whatever you're doing, you can be in communion with God. Am I right, Irv? You here today? Yeah, he's back there. Driving that truck, man, he can be praying up a storm, and I know he does. And you know, we all need one another. I need your prayers. Amen? But we need each other. We need to pray for one another. Come on. Why? Not just because we're just doing something, and where you're yawning and saying, oh, here we go again, we'll do another prayer. We'll offer a prayer in the morning. No, no, it's because we're communing with God and God is wanting to answer prayer. Come on, God wouldn't ask us to pray if He didn't want to answer prayer. And God has given us the authority on earth. Why? Because remember, again, in the beginning, God gave man the authority to invoke heaven's influence. So likewise, in Christ, we have been reestablished in Him. We have been deputized, amen, anointed of God to be an intercessor, to pray on behalf of others, to call His kingdom in so His will would be done on the earth just as it is according to His will in heaven. Come on, somebody. So faith is very important. Faith is me believing that God is, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In the Amplified, it says, now faith, Hebrews 11:1, says, is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Hear this. Y'all listening? Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Well, I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. But faith is confident assurance that what I'm asking for according to the will of God is a sure thing. It's not a maybe thing. It's a sure thing. When we pray, we should be praying like children do. They just come to their father and they ask and they expect. We got to keep it simple, right? K-I-S and yeah. Faith pulls that which is in the invisible realm into the visible realm. Faith is that key. All right? That unlocks the door. God gives us a key. It's called prayer. But faith is what opens the door. You got it? We can have a key, but not be able to use it properly. So faith is the key. Amen? Is that which opens that door. So what we're doing when we pray according to God's will is we are actually reaching into the invisible realm and bringing that into the visible realm. When a miracle happens, when somebody's healed, when somebody receives, we're calling that from the invisible to where it's becoming manifest in the natural, in the visible. Amen? So that's what happens when we pray for the sick, for example, and somebody's healed. We just call that which was invisible, but we were confidently assured that that was a reality and an availability if I could just call on the Lord and ask Him to reach out His hand and touch somebody. Amen. That when I pray and I have a confidence that God is saying, I want to do this. God's going to do this. Then it actually happens. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you want to please God? Start believing God. If you're believing God, you'll start petitioning Him more. You'll be praying more. Why? Because you know that God does answer prayer. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, I said a prayer last Sunday morning. What are you talking about? I read the responsive reading. I read that prayer. You know, the Lord gave us the model of prayer in the Lord. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. When we pray, the first thing we need to do is we have to pray in faith. Secondly, we need to pray according to the will of God. Now, this is the problem. We can say then, well, what is God's will then? How do I know how to pray? How do I know what to pray for? How do I know what is God's will when it comes to prayer? Well, you and I know what's going on in our secret heart, right? We know what's going on inside. You and I are well acquainted with our own thoughts. Can you say amen to that? We know our thoughts, right? How many know that the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God? Amen? And so the Holy Spirit is the one who will reveal by revelation or revealing to us what we should be praying for. But guess what? If we're not in faith and in communion with Him, we're not going to know what the heart of God is. Why? Because we're going to be full of ourselves. And when we're full of ourselves, we can't be full of Him. And then we get into this double-minded thing where it's like me, it's Jesus, it's me. Are you hearing me? Was that your thoughts, God, or my thoughts? If we're walking close to God, you will begin to discern the voice of God. You'll begin to learn the voice of God. Amen? Through practice, through application. Amen? It's not about just a one-time deal. It's about a life of cultivating a relationship with the Lord to where we begin to know the voice of God when He speaks to us. And in another voice we will not listen to. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So if we know what God wants, then we have confidence that our request will be answered. Can you say amen to that? Now, I want to just interject something here, because when I was putting this together, I was thinking about the gift of faith. There's actually a gift of faith. And this is, again, a gift of the Holy Spirit. We are to be governed by the Holy Spirit, led, right? So the Lord at times will give you an assurance, a confidence about something that you're going to pray about. Maybe you run into somebody and somebody starts to open up to you about, man, I'm just struggling right now and I'm having these problems. And all of a sudden this thing, it's like this gift of faith comes upon you and a confidence starts to rise up within your heart. You know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden it's like you just know that you know that God's going to show up and God's going to take care of that thing. Amen? So you step out in obedience and act upon that gift. Activate that gift by faith. By what? Petitioning the Father on behalf of this person. And it's a done deal. It's happened to me many times where the gift of faith will come and I know somebody's going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I know they're going to get healed. It doesn't happen all the time. I wish it would. But it does happen at times in our lives. Amen? Where God wants to do something in a certain context, a certain situation. How many know that the Father is wise? He knows what's best. Amen? Jesus didn't just stop Peter from doing what Peter was going to do. He let Peter go. Amen? Because Peter had to learn. And Peter was very stubborn. And he was not going to just take advice from Jesus. So Jesus allowed Peter to fall on his face so he would learn to trust the Lord and not in himself. So God is looking for someone who will pray His will. Do you understand that prayer is really near and dear to our Father's heart? Why? Because it was because of this access we have that Jesus went and shed His blood. Jesus went to the cross to reconcile us to God, to bring us back into fellowship with Him, so we could have communion with Him in the Spirit, so we could pray. Come on, somebody. It was paid for, this privilege was paid for in blood. It's not something to take lightly. It is something that God has called us to as a royal priesthood, to petition Him and to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. You know, if we spent more time just communing with Jesus, we would find that our lives are going to be ordered of the Lord. Amen. We're going to find that our lives are not being double-minded and there's not confusion. Amen. How many know when we're double-minded, there's confusion, right? I've been there. Everybody here has been there. Turn to your neighbor and said, you've been there. Oh, you don't know how spiritual I am. But anyways, yeah. You know, God is a good Father. And He has to continue, all right, to get our attention. Because He knows how easily we are distracted by things. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is there to convict us? To remind us? Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. And when we pray, not only do we pray in faith and pray according to what God wants, and the Spirit of God reveals that, but also the Word of God, the Bible, is very clear about what God's will is for us and how we should pray. So if we're praying the Word of God, come on, we're praying the will of God. Now, third is we need to pray in a name. Not just any name. Amen? And not just God, because when you talk to people in the world, everybody has an opinion of God, right? And everybody had, most people believe in some God. If they don't believe in the God, they believe they're the God. Amen? So, when we say God, we need to ask, who are we referring to? Okay? John 16:23. And in that day, Jesus said to his disciples, you will ask me nothing. In other words, you're not going to have to ask me the questions. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So when we pray, we have to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. So if we say, you're healed in the name of Jesus, or I pray in the name of Jesus, what we're actually saying is we're praying in his stead. An ambassador represents the name of the president or the king that they are representing. Amen? They're being sent to represent their name, their agenda. Amen? That nation. So you and I, when we go in Jesus' name, it means that we are representatives of him. Amen? So when I pray in his name, I am praying, amen, in agreement with what the Lord wants. In the earth realm, I have to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So who do we pray for? Jesus said, pray in this manner. Our Father who what? Art in heaven. Call on the Father, amen. And if you pray in the name of Jesus, if you say, Lord Jesus, you know what? It's you're praying in his name, amen. Because I and my Father are one. It's okay. But he said, pray and ask the Father in my name. All right? If we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us. So we pray in the name of the Lord. Amen. So we say, Father in heaven. Or Holy Father. Father in heaven. Holy Father. Our Father in heaven. Holy or hallowed is your name. So when we say Holy Father, amen, we're calling on the Holy God. The true and living God. Amen. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need to identify who we're talking to when we pray. I heard people pray and they're just praying out into the wind. They're just like not even bringing up any name. They're just saying something out loud. You know what? God wants you to specify, amen, who you're talking to. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. And then he said in verse 24, until now you've asked me nothing. Ask and you will receive that your joy, what? Joy may be full. Is there a connection between prayer, a prayer life, and joy? Ooh, why? Because communion with Jesus produces joy in your spirit. And when you are in right standing with God, you have joy in your spirit. Come on, somebody. In his presence is fullness of joy. So when we're connecting, when we're people of prayer, we have God's joy. Someone explained it this way. Joy is peace dancing. Peace dancing. Not necessarily even laughter, but it could be. Amen? But it's just an inner joy. It's an inner strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do we need joy? Yes. If we need strength, then we need joy. And how do we get joy? We get joy through fellowship with the Lord. Communion with God in the Spirit. Petitioning the Father. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So when the Lord gave us the Lord, his prayer here, this model, it's not something that like some people do. They just echo this thing and repeat this prayer over and over and over again, as if God doesn't hear. He says, don't use vain repetitions as the pagans do. I mean, the unbelievers do, the heathen, he called them. He says, no, your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. You don't have to babble things. You don't have to chant things. Amen? You just ask and you receive. And you pray this model. He said, this is the pattern. This is the way. Our Father, who are you calling on? The Heavenly Father, who art in heaven. And how do you approach Him? You approach Him with an offering of praise. Holy is your name. Amen? And then you put His priorities before yourself. You say, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're good at saying, God, give me, God, give me. How about, God, what do you want? How can I pray in accordance with what you want? Lord, I want your will to become my desire. I want to desire what you desire. How many want to desire what he desires? And if you're spending time with him, if you're in communion with him, then all of a sudden, his will becomes a desire in you. Isn't that something? All of a sudden, it's like I'm not struggling to do what God told me to do. I want to do what God told me to do. Why? Because his will becomes my desire when I'm in communion with him. Are you hearing me? I want to come to church because I want to be in fellowship with God's people because Jesus told us to get together. Amen? And I delight to do this, and I don't really feel like it. And believe me, confession is good for the soul. There's been times when, you know, there's been a pastor's meeting, and I did not want to go. You know? But I kept hearing the Lord say, I want you to go. I don't really want to go. I want you to go. So, I'm going to say I always gave into that wrong voice, but occasionally I have. But the other day it just happened again, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. And when I went, I was so blessed. The enemy was there to try to steal something, you see. You understand there are people this morning, I'm convinced of it, that are being robbed of this blessing right now because they listened to the wrong voice, because they felt something come on them that was telling them something else. We've got to listen to the voice of the true shepherd. We need to listen to what God says, because if you're just following your feelings, you're going to be deceived. You got to do what's right, and good feelings follow faith. So who are you praying to? We're praying to our Father. Amen. You know, it's true, but many people are just concerned about their own will. Is it possible for Christians to be primarily concerned about their own will and not the will of God? Oh, yes. That's the battle, isn't it? Is the who's going to rule today? Who's going to win today? Who's going to be in charge today? Who am I going to allow to be in charge today? Am I going to give God the right he has to me, amen, as my Lord, as my Savior, amen, to rule me today? Or am I just going to do my own thing? How often have we prayed, God, bless this, which I'm about to do, and never even really inquired as to whether or not that's what he wants you to do? Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, that sounds like something I've done before. Come on. We want it so bad. And we're afraid to ask God because what if God says no? But the Lord loves you. The Lord knows what's best. And boy, if we just start listening to his voice more often, we'll be glad. You know, another thing is God's been teaching me to listen to my wife more often, too. Come on, guys. There's a time for that. Not every time, but there's times when you got to say, hey, wait, maybe my wife has got something going on here that I'm not getting. Amen. And before, when we were young in our marriage, it was like, no, I call the shots here. It's whatever. And she's almost like there with her arms folded. And I told you so, you know. But God puts you together with your partner so together you can do life. Amen. And you can learn from each other and listen to the counsel of your husband. But listen to the counsel of your wife, amen, guys. Because often they have something that God has for you. God's going to give you some advice through your wife. She's a helpmeet, and she's there to help you. 1 Corinthians 2:11, hear it. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. There's the confirmation. There's the word. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How do I know how to pray? How do I know how to pray what's on God's heart, what's God's will? It's by the Holy Spirit who reveals to me, this is where I want you to focus today. Amen? And let me tell you something. When you're praying the will of God, there is life in it. It will be alive. It will be quickened by God's Spirit. Amen? When I pray for America, I tell you what, my whole being becomes alive. Why? Because God loves this country. God wants to save America. I know there's a lot of people that's booting America to the curb and say, oh, she's rotten. She's going to hell in a handbasket. Forget it. No, I say let's stand in the gap. Let's believe God that He could send a national awakening. Because when I pray that way, God quickens me. I know that's the heart of God. God's not willing that anyone should perish. He doesn't want America to go down. Amen? And I believe that we have been that golden cup in His hand, and we have been a nation that has been instrumental in bringing the gospel to so many. And we're still doing that today, and God has a mission. God has a purpose for this country. Be of good cheer. Amen? Our God is bigger than the news. He's bigger than the media. We got to get our source from Him, amen, from His Word and by His Spirit. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Either way, we're going to win, amen. But while we're here in this body, let's bear fruit. Let's make a difference. Let's run this race with perseverance. Let's be a people of prayer, amen, so that we'll be a people of power. If you don't pray, you don't have power. You don't have strength unless you're a person of prayer. And the enemy deceives people into thinking that they do. He tells people that you're strong. You don't need to be in fellowship like you used to be. You don't need to come that often. You don't need to pray that much. You don't need to read that much. You're pretty strong. Mm-hmm. How many have heard that voice before? How many have yielded to that voice before? Do you understand? He's a thief. He's trying to rob you of something eternal. We're supposed to be storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We're supposed to be living for eternity, for that kingdom. Amen? For eternity. Amen? God provides, God blesses, God takes care of things down here below, but that's not the purpose for which we're here. Amen? Jesus bought us, separated us, so what we will serve Him now. Like I said, many people are more concerned about their own will than God's will. And I have to struggle with the same thing every day. I have to make sure that I do what God is telling me to do and don't ignore His voice. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not cut off the flow. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't cut the flow of His Spirit off by not obeying His voice, because His voice is life. When you are in agreement with the voice of God, when you're obedient to the voice of God, you will be refreshed. You will be a well-watered garden. Your life will produce the fruit of Christ. You will have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit when you are walking and abiding in the will of God. And God's will is revealed to those who petition Him and who pray. The Spirit of God begins to reveal the heart of God to us, amen, the heart of the Father, so that we can know how to come into agreement with what He wants. And when we are praying the will of God, it is not a maybe. It is a will. It is a done thing. It is a certainty. When you pray the will of God, you will receive the answer. It's not a maybe. Lord, I thank You so much for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come to You. Thank You for giving us access to Your throne. We can make our petitions known. like the old song says, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne to make my wants and petitions known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. That's in Him. We have an escape. We have a refuge. We have a place where we can go. We can enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus' blood. And we can find peace in that place. God has placed in our hands the keys as a believer to bind and to loose. And I'm going to finish with this one. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. If you have been given the key to the city, if you've been given a key to a building, you've been given the key to the car, what that key means is that you have an authorization, right? to access something. God has given to His church the authorization to access His throne. To call that which is in the eternal, invisible realm into the natural realm. So His kingdom comes to earth and His will is done on earth just as it is according to His will in heaven. Amen? So listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth, as touching or concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Look at verse 20. For where two or three are gathered, let's take it in context, when we are in unity, when we are coming together, somebody say amen. Coming together to pray, two or three, amen. In my name, I am there in the midst of them. Look at verse 18 again. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is He saying? He said, I've given you the authorization to implement and to use that key I gave you. Amen? Prayer. Amen? And faith is the access code. We come, we use what God has given us, amen, to pray according to His heart, to His will, to invoke His divine influence in this earth realm. And so whatever God is binding in heaven, we have the authorization to bind on earth. Now hear me. Some people are going around binding this and binding that. That's not what He's saying. He's saying whatever I'm doing, you're supposed to be doing. If I am telling you to bind, for example, a spirit that may be operating in somebody, then you do that because what I'm doing in heaven, you can release on the earth. In other words, there's the will of God. Amen? It's like this big cup up there. It's full of good things. And God says, but by faith you have to access that, pull it out of heaven and bring it into the earth. If it's according to my will, it will happen. So if I'm saying to bind this thing, this situation, and what that really means, binding and loosing, is whatever you allow or disallow is what it means. So if I'm allowing something to go, all right, but God in heaven is saying, I disallow that. He has given you the authority to disallow it on earth. If you've got a problem with drugs, you may be allowing that, or even somebody else may be. But when it comes to our individual lives, God is certainly not allowing that in heaven. Amen? Because it's destructive. So, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. If it's God's will for people to be free from addiction, then we must, by faith, access that realm, call, amen, on His name and invoke His divine influence in that situation. Take authority over that addiction and those spirits that are operating here. Amen? Bind them in Jesus' name and cast them out. Jesus gave us the authority to cast out demons. We know it's His will to drive out demons. Amen? It's God's will that people be saved. Come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen? It's God's will that we make disciples. So we don't have to ask, Lord, what is Your will? He's told us what His will is. How many of us are just constantly asking God for answers that we already have? I remember when I was I was going before my first credential board. This is back in, I think it was back in 94 or something like that. And there's one of the brothers that was going in there. They have all these questions that you have to answer, you know, and they grill you. They have all these guys. And back in the day, they were all wearing suits. It was like the mob or something, you know. He just felt like, you're before the council of elders. And you went in there, so they're going to ask you, why do you feel that you're called, to ministry? And these guys were great. They just kind of looked a little intimidating, that's all. But they're asking us, what makes you think that you're called to ministry? And one of the brothers said, what part of Matthew 28 don't you understand? Go into all the world, hello. I thought, that's good. That's good. That's simple, but that's it. That encapsulates it. How many know that all of us are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Amen? To live the gospel and to speak it when God gives you that opportunity. Hallelujah. So anyways, I don't know where I was going with that, except whatever we bind on earth is being bound in heaven. If God is saying, I don't allow that, all right? We've got stuff coming into our city, encroaching upon our city, demonic strongholds in our city. Is God allowing that? Well, God will allow what people allow. So if people want to bow down to Baal, Baal worship will continue, amen, until somebody steps into the gap and says, like an Elijah, amen, and says, but God has sent me to interrupt what you're doing. And if God calls you to that, then He also authorizes you to take authority in that situation, amen, and to bind these things and to shut down their powers, amen, in Jesus' name. Do you understand that we have the ability in Jesus' name to bind up all the powers of the works of darkness? Not just some, all. Because that's what God wants. God wants people free. God wants people liberated. Amen? God wants people, but there's only one thing. A person needs to come to repentance. A person needs to come to a place in their own life that even though you may want to set somebody free, if they're not ready, if the soil of their heart is not prepared, they're not ready for that. Guess what? They're just going to continue to do what they want because they still have that will. Amen? But if a person has been prepared of the Lord, their heart is right, and they're open, and they're willing to listen and to receive from God, then God will give you that faith that you need in that hour, and God will help you set that person free in Jesus' name. So whatever you're binding, it has to be what God is binding. Whatever you, amen, are disallowing, it's what God is disallowing. Whatever you allow on earth, it has to be what God is allowing. What about your personal life? What am I allowing in my personal life? Is it something that God is allowing in heaven? If it's not, then it needs to be bound. Amen? It needs to be disallowed. It needs to be stopped. That's what's called repentance. If you and I would move when God is dealing with us, if we would step out in faith when God is convicting us, then God will supply the grace for us to be free. Do you understand? God doesn't convict us just to make us miserable. He convicts us because He wants to heal us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to restore us. So He pricks us with that conviction. Amen. Because He doesn't do anything for naught. If the Holy Spirit convicts us, it means that He's providing also the solution, the grace to be free from that thing. So we just got to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Say, okay, Lord, You say this is disallowed in heaven, it's disallowed on earth. Amen? If You're disallowing this, I'm disallowing it. If You're allowing it, then I'm allowing it. Regardless of what man says, we need to obey God. Amen.